This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Chuang and Chen Li. Now, employers are up in arms over the low approval rate for migrant worker applications as they struggle with post-pandemic economic recovery. According to reports from various online portals, more than 500,000 employers have applied for workers, but very few have received approval.
Yeah, businesses now warn that the lack of workers could derail recovery efforts due to labor shortages in critical industries like the plantation, construction and manufacturing sectors. The government, in turn, has responded saying that the delays are due to the implementation of new systems and procedures for procuring foreign workers. The HR Minister, Dato' Sri M. Saravanan, has said that all permit applications will not only go through the Ministry of Human Resources, but also to the Home Ministry as well as other relevant authorities and agencies. So a lot of bureaucracy. He's also added that almost half the permit applications were incomplete or riddled with errors, while around 40,000 of the total number of applications were rejected as they were not in compliance with the new standards.
So how can companies and businesses and the government work together to correct this imbalance in demand and supply that seems to exist when it comes to labor? For some thoughts on this issue, we have with us Dr. Carmelo Ferlito, CEO of the Center for Market Education. Carmelo, good morning. Always good to have you with us. So, you know, give us your take on the situation. Employers are complaining that there aren't enough workers because the government's approval process is taking too long. But at the same time, the government is saying that a lot of the applications are incomplete and don't meet the new standards. Is there a mismatch between what employers want and what the government can actually provide?
Yeah, actually, my question would be, do we really need to go through this painful bureaucratic and paperwork process in order to get workers in the country? And I raise two problems that are strictly related to this. One, the higher risk for corruption. The more difficult paperwork is, the higher is the risk for corruption. So to try to find, shortcut to get things approved. And secondly, there is a big debate about rising prices. And one of the best way to get prices to cool down is to increase supply. And if we want to increase supply, workers are an essential part of that process. So by keeping and making things complicated, I think we are not really going anywhere.
So should the government then be less involved in the procurement of foreign labor and give more control to the employers themselves to source for their own workers rather than having to wait for approvals from the government instead?
Absolutely. I mean, the entrepreneurs and businesses are the ones that actually know what do they need in terms of labor, and they should be left free as much as possible to source their workers for what they need.
Yeah, but then what about the issue of exploitations, Carmelo? Can you expect the private sector to be good to their workers as well?
Well, on this, I will make a proposal that will make everybody unhappy, I guess. And it is that, obviously, we cannot conceive in the long run Malaysia to be the only liberalized market for labor. I think that the direction we should aim to is an ASEAN direction, and we should imagine a total opening of the labor market at each level, skilled, unskilled, so that each citizen of ASEAN would be free to look for whatever job within the region at the very least. This would give freedom of movement to workers, so workers would not be in possession of any employer. And this would also solve somehow the issue of our skilled workers that eventually cannot find adequate opportunities in Malaysia and would be free to look for them elsewhere.
Yeah, that was actually what happened with the European Union, right? Because you had free and unfettered movement of labour across the member states. Now, what can ASEAN learn in terms of its getting its act together in this regard so that we can learn from what happened in the Union?
In fact, it's precisely at the European Union that I'm looking at. When European Union moved to be more and more a union, it was clear that the freedom of movement for capital alone was not enough to build what actually a union is, and freedom of movement of people was an essential part of that process building. And freedom of movement of people doesn't mean simply be free to go for holiday in another country of the union, but means indeed to look for opportunities. And this has been, very good also for, people growing up in countries with less opportunities. So the possibility to go from the south to north has been a very good occasion for many workers.
Yeah, but Carmelo, that's precisely the reason why Great Britain exited from the union, because it felt that it was being disenfranchised by the movement of cheaper labour from, countries like Poland, for example, into the UK at the cost of British workers.
Well, I guess that was only part of the story. The Great Britain has never been a huge fan of the union. The fact that they haven't embraced the euro is also a proof of that. So the United Kingdom has always been a skeptical member of the union. So I guess that their exit is more related to their own perception of themselves, rather than simply a labor issue that may have been may have taken a part in that process, in the decision process, but only in the later stage.
So are there any models from other governments that we can learn from when it comes to foreign labor management?
I guess that the European Union model should be the gold standard we refer to. And meanwhile, we should introduce as much as possible freedom of hiring workers. But at the same time, I guess we should reduce the role of agency precisely to protect workers, migrant workers.
All right. I do find the idea of modeling freedom of movement in the European Union, in ASEAN, an attractive proposition. And I think that is part of long-term discussions of the Asian economic sphere of sorts to create that ASEAN economic community. Yeah. But as we all know, ASEAN moves at a glacial pace. So who knows when we'll see developments on this front. But I do want to kind of further the conversation along. How do we lessen our reliance on foreign labor? Because while freedom of movement could help mitigate that shortage, for now, though, I think there's a real problem in terms of just how much we rely on foreign labor in the Malaysian economy. So what do you think is the solution to reduce that reliance?
So I see this from a double perspective. First of all, reliance on foreign labor is not necessarily bad per se. Is also a signal of something positive. It means that local workers have better possibilities, better chances. So this is somehow the bright side of the picture. On the other side, obviously, we can begin and we should think about the process of moving from labor-intensive processes toward a higher degree of mechanization, but we should discuss this outside of an ideological discussion, because we have to be very realistic. We have to consider that there is a dichotomy in our economy between few big enterprises and instead a multitude of small and medium enterprises where mechanization processes are more complicated to be introduced because of the lack of capital. So in this sense, we have to embrace a model of gradual development. That means growing the process of accumulation of capital. And this means, in turn, to create more conditions, a better environment for the development of private investment, not only foreign investment, but I have in mind in particular domestic.
Carmelo, thanks very much for speaking to us. And no doubt we'll have more conversations on this in the future. That was Carmelo Ferlito, CEO of the Center for Market Education, giving us his take on how the labor shortage could impact the Malaysian economy in the short and long term, giving some suggestions on what we could do to improve the situation. Freedom of movement, very attractive, but probably not a short-term solution in any case. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.